Welcome to Career Tools. This week, compress your work, double your time, part one. Questions this cast answers are, how do I get more done in less time? How do I get faster at the things I have to do? And does the law of diminishing returns apply? Are you interviewing, or are you even thinking about interviewing, or even thinking about changing jobs and interviewing? Your dream job is just one interview away. And the interview series includes the entire process of interviewing from preparation to follow-up. There's 60 podcasts or more, 20 videos and a written library, everything you need in incredible detail. What to do, how to do it, what to say and how to say it, what to write and how to write it. If you're worried about an interview, and to be fair, who isn't? The interview series will help you feel confident in your skills and abilities and allow you to showcase those for the interviewer. So if you're even thinking about changing jobs, get the interview series now and start working on your next career move. This cast is so close to being clickbait, or at least having a clickbaity title.
Oh, for sure.
I worked really hard on it, and we just changed the title again while we were recording because we're trying to make it less clickbaity and more obvious about what we're trying to say. And so unlike every other article you've ever read that says you can do twice as much work in half the time, we're actually going to give you a six-step model and a timeline for achieving that goal. We all know Parkinson's Law, work expands to fill the time available. And most of us know Horseman's Corollary. Did I say that right?
Corollary.
Thank you. Which I wish you'd named it something easier for me to say. That work contracts to fit into the time we give it. So if you say you're going to be done in an hour, you can be done in an hour or you can be done in two. It depends when the deadline is. And there is some kind of magic that happens the day before we go on vacation. And all of our work gets done much more quickly than usual. I've got six more days in the office and then I've got 2 weeks off. And it's weird how quickly everything's going today. Yeah. So how do we make that happen more often? How do we bottle that magic and make the work contract into the time we give it? In this cast, we're going to give you the answers.
Yeah, how do we make every day the day before we go on vacation, right?
Or as productive as the day before we go on vacation, because otherwise that's a big groundhog day, right?
Right. The answer would be take 180 vacations.
Yeah.
Okay, so the outline for today, I love the outline for this cast because it's only six words. Analyze, plan, prepare, experiment, refine, and repeat.
Easy.
I feel like every time I read the outline, I go, this is going to be easy. But the problem with this cast, and some would say it's not a problem, is that unlike all those clickbaity things that you see and you know, there's a hack for time management, there is going to be a little bit of work here.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. There is. It's not a flip this switch and now magically you get 20 more hours in the week.
No,
you
gotta
do
sadly
a little bit of work. But it's worth it.
I hope so. The first work is analyze. So in this stage, we're going to look at the work we're doing and work out what it is we're going to attempt to do in a shorter period of time. So for the first 1 to 2 weeks, we recommend you conduct a Drucker time analysis, of which there are instructions in the podcast, Time Priority Management, which if you go to the Manage Tools website and put in Time Priority Management, it will give you that podcast. And literally, you know, if I give you the short version, all you do is every 10 minutes, you note down what you're doing during the day. So just print, you know, you could do it on a lined piece of paper, mark the hours, six lines between them. And every 10 minutes you say, this is what I'm working on. This is what I'm working on. You take 3 seconds. It doesn't take very long. It's just the monotony and the remembering to do it. So if you have one of those watches with a silent alarm that can buzz every 10 minutes to remind you, that might be useful. You don't need to change anything you do. You don't need to plan. You don't, like, literally, you could start this as you listen. Though you're probably not in the office. We hope not. But as soon as we're done, you could start with a lined piece of paper. Doesn't matter if it's Wednesday at 3 o'clock or Monday at 5, start now and start logging what you're doing.
Yeah. This is getting the data, right? You've got to somehow get the data. And I think most folks big problem right now is they don't know what they're doing or how long it's taking. And we've got some analogous ties to, you know, personal finances and, mm-hmm. and credit cards that we're going to talk about later. But I think of this as every personal finance guru mm-hmm. that's out there, or any personal finance plan I've ever seen or been a part of, the first step is always the same. Find out what you're spending money on now. And this is that step with, I would even argue, a more important resource, a more finite resource you can't get back. And that is, find out what you're spending your time on now. The Drucker version is as simple as I've seen it. There are other ways you can do it. There are systems that you can install on your computer. But the problem with that is, what if you walk away from your computer? What are you doing at that time, right? How do you capture that? And so, yeah, it's such a great way of just capturing what you're doing and how long it's taking. And it sounds bizarre because some of you are probably thinking, well, of course I know what I'm doing, right? You know what you're doing in the moment, you do, right? But if we asked you what you were doing at a particular moment in the day, you would know, well, this is what I was doing and this is why I was doing it. But if you look back at the last week, or you look back even a few days ago, would you know what you were doing every minute? Would you know how long that particular task took you to complete? No, you'd have a rough idea, but your idea could be significantly flawed based on interruptions, based on other things. So it's really hard to quantify our time, even looking back a day or two, let alone over the course of weeks.
Yeah, if you asked me what I did yesterday, I would have to look at my to-do list. And that's mm-hmm. not everything I did, but that's the only record I have of what I did.
Yeah.
And I don't remember all of the other things. Unless somebody comes and emails me and says, hey, we talked about this, I won't remember. This cast has got lots of analogies in it. Mm-hmm. But one analogy is, if you stand in a street in a suburb, you can't see the pattern of the streets. If I go outside my house now, I can't see what the pattern of the streets is. And that's deliberate because it slows the traffic down. You don't want lots of straightaways.
Mm-hmm.
But there could be a grid, or there could be some kind of spiral, or there could be some kind of cul-de-sac, but you can't tell from standing outside the house. And even if you walk to the end of the street, you still usually can't tell because there's a little bit of bend in the road, or...
Yeah, you're seeing an intersection.
Exactly. And
yeah, but you don't get the full picture at all.
But you don't have to get very high off the ground before you can see the pattern. You literally just have to be above the houses. Like mm-hmm. maybe another house high or two houses high. And then you can see the pattern that the streets make. And that's what this work of logging all of the things that you're doing enables you to do. Instead of standing on the street, you are looking at it from above and you can start to see the patterns. Like when I do my admin at 5 o'clock, it takes longer than if I do it at 8 o'clock when I'm feeling brainy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on Friday afternoons, this task takes me longer because I'm tired.
Yeah. And it's just getting a different perspective. It's looking at it from a different angle, from above, from there's a interesting book. Wendy and I are, it feels like we're constantly talking about house and chores and cleaning and organizing and stuff. But there's a great book called The House That Cleans Itself. And it's about organizing your home and organizing it in a way where it cleans itself, more or less. And the first section of that book is let your house get messy like uh-huh. it normally does. But then instead of going to start cleaning up, you get a ladder and a Polaroid camera, or you could use your phone, mm-hmm. and you go to the center of the room and you stand up on top of the ladder and you take pictures around the room.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can see the messes from another angle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Genius. You're just seeing it from a different angle. And then you can look at it more objectively, right? From a different perspective. And that's what we're talking about here with gathering your time and how you're spending your time. It's just looking at it from a different perspective, seeing it on paper and going, oh, wow, I didn't realize that this is how much time I spend on this, or this is what I'm spending my time on. And we're going to talk about that. But just, full of analogies today, but that was one. Yeah, it's interesting.
It is. Other people's mess is always easier to clean as well. like, why don't you organize it like this? Why? I don't know. I don't know why my stuff stays disorganized, but other people's, I'm fine with organizing.
Oh, yeah. It's because you have no emotional attachment to that thing.
Exactly.
Right? And that's an interesting perspective. I never thought of, you know, as a from a time analysis standpoint, we've got some examples of looping in some other resources or people you know who are really good at stuff, but maybe that's an opportunity too, having someone else look at your time and see.
And there's fortunately an easy win, because we've just asked you to do this for 1 to 2 weeks and it feels like you're just not doing anything. You're just doing the same stuff and I've just given you more work to do. So, you know, this is not a good way to start a podcast, but there is an easy win. You are probably going to be surprised at how much time you spend on your major priorities. And mm-hmm. it's probably way less than you think. Like, you'll be surprised probably about how much time is sucked up with trivial things. And just knowing what you're doing from that holistic perspective can encourage you to delegate. If you're an individual performer, delegate to the floor, which is one of my favorite mm-hmm. things to do, or reprioritize. Just that being able to see it suddenly makes you think, well, why was I doing these 5 things? They were a waste of time and I spent 5 hours doing them.
Just to tie this back to the personal finance thing, it's the same thing. When you start tracking what you spend your money on, you get surprised at what you spend it on that you don't think of, right? Most of my friends, it's food. Mm-hmm. They think we're eating, but we're going to the grocery store. And then, you know, they total it all up and they go, this can't be right. We're spending this much on groceries and this much eating out? Wait a second. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It doesn't add up.
It doesn't. It's always shocking, I think.
Yeah.
So we've got another 5 steps to go. And we only want you to do those 5 steps on the work that's left after you've decided what you're not going to do or what doesn't make sense to do. Or it's kind of like washing dishes at the end of a party and a lot of people use paper plates. You don't want to wash the paper plates. You throw them in the trash first and you only wash what's left. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. I saw a clip of Elon Musk said, you know, we'll have 10 engineers working on engineering a process or optimizing a process that doesn't even need to exist. Mm-hmm. And how many times do we do that ourselves?
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So there is little point in starting with the tasks that don't contribute to your overall results. But you can't analyze without the data. So that's why this task comes first.
Yeah, absolutely. Our next step is plan. So we've spent 1 to 2 weeks analyzing. For the next 1 to 2 weeks, decide which task you're going to attempt to compress and plan how you're going to do that. Don't try to work all the tasks at once. This is a huge pitfall. This is a recipe for overload, for confusion, and in fact, could lead to less productivity. Yes. And we don't want that. Instead, we're going to focus our efforts on one task. Now, there's an obvious answer here in terms of making a choice. You could choose the one that's the most important in terms of your results, what's going to give you the biggest bang for your buck in terms of what you're responsible for. But there's some nuance here. There's some subtleties that I think is great, and I'm so glad that we're going to talk through them because there are other factors to consider when you're thinking about which task to choose first.
And now we go back to the financial analogies. Mm-hmm. So when people are in credit card debt and they have several cards at various interest rates and balances, as Andrew says, all the gurus, none of the gurus say, start with the one that will reduce your overall cost the most. So if you did the math.
So like highest interest rate.
Yeah, highest interest rate. It doesn't make it doesn't make financial sense to choose one of the other cards when the one with the highest interest is costing you the most. But there's a psychological component to debt, to overwhelm, to the chaos you live in, unproductiveness. I think I just made that up. mess in general.
We'll make you a high
it's
eye
like,
yet.
All right. The show Hoarders is not about the stuff.
No.
It's about the psychology. And all of these things are about psychology. So when they tell you which card to pay off, sometimes it's the one that's the very low balance that you could pay off in like 2 weeks or 2 months and feel really good. You get an early win, and that motivates you to get the dopamine. Next one. Exactly. It might be one that you hate the most. Like there's some, for some reason, some bank has really annoyed you. Their customer service is horrible. You just, for whatever reason, I just hate those people.
Or you could have a negative emotion attached to that card for what you spent it on. Yeah. I mean, if you, this is probably not the best example, but if you bought an engagement ring and she said no, or he said no, and now you've got this, I mean, hopefully you can return it, but if you're paying off, you know, a portion of it or part of it, yeah, there's going to be some strong negative emotions there that it might be nice to just get that gone, right? Get it out of your head.
Exactly. One of my cards, if you make a payment, they give you points. They don't give you points when you buy something. They give you points when you pay stuff off. So you can Yeah, it's cool, right? So you start paying that bill down, you start getting points. And so then you can trade the points in for prizes, as they say. Mm. And so there's a reward for paying off. Like it might be that you start with that one with some more dopamine.
Exactly. And in the same way that you could find which card is the best to kind of attack first, not all tasks are equal in terms of their importance, urgency, or even annoyance factor. So there are some ways to think about this. You might choose to tackle the task that takes up the most time, and that will give you the biggest benefit in terms of time saved. You might take on the task that is the most annoying and make it condensed so that it's less of an annoyance. This is going to give you the biggest reduction in that annoyance factor.
Yeah, the one that somebody nags you about every week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You could choose the task that bothers your boss the most. That gives you the biggest relationship win. And and sometimes the things that bother your boss are the things that you don't think are important, so you don't put any effort into that task. If your boss thinks it's important, it's important. That person decides on whether or not you get paid and what projects you work on and what you do all day. If it's important to them, it's important to you. So you might choose that task.
Well, I would even say, Wendy, just to say what you said, I agree, just I'm going to say it a little differently. If for your boss, that task is associated with some negative emotion or annoyance, and you are the reason that that is less of an annoyance or the solution to that problem, then that's a positive emotional reaction to you, and that association in their brain, probably not the worst thing.
Exactly. Yeah, remember, boss is a human too. You might choose the task that's easiest to compress. So the one that you can say, oh, I could just do this and it'll be fine, because that gives you an early win. It's
that lowest balance.
Exactly. You might choose the one that's the most urgent. So repeating tasks tend not to be urgent, but they are if you put it off every week. So maybe moving that task, compressing that task will make you procrastinate on it less and therefore not so urgent. Or it could be something that you know that's a big project or a big task that you don't really want to do. And you can think of a way to actually make it faster. So do that first.
Yeah, I could even say that going through this process on a task that's very urgent could, I'm thinking of things in my head, but if it's something that's really urgent or important, and this is what you're choosing to go through this process with, this process could help you articulate other reporting or communication that you need to complete around this task, which could be killing two birds with one stone.
That's right. Yesterday, I had to make all the folders for next year's podcasts in Dropbox. And there's a method of doing it. You do it, you create a spreadsheet, and then you go into Terminal and you type this thing, and they magically appear, all 150 of them, named properly and so on. And every year, the reason I have to do it is because we've recorded and I need somewhere to put that recording. And the file isn't there because the 1st of January hasn't been done. And so it's always urgent. Every time I do that task, it's only once a year, but every time I do it, it's urgent. And thank goodness, last year, I wrote myself a list that has the piece of code in it and how to make the spreadsheet and all of the stuff. So this year, it only took me like 20 minutes. So
that's awesome. So good.
And the last one is the task you want to work on most. You know, if there's a task that you really would have fun making it compressed, then choose that one because it would give you motivation to hit all of the rest of them. If you are listening to this podcast, you know that the managerial path forward is not magical. Good management is purposeful. You don't become an effective manager overnight and with no direction. It's a professional discipline, just like accounting and IT and engineering and logistics and HR and sales are. There's certain managerial behaviors which you must engage in order to become a good manager, and most of us aren't taught what those are. They're not hard, and nor are they a secret. But if you don't know what those behaviors are and how to execute them, you might feel lost. And if you feel that lots of your managers fit that description, even though you know they're well-meaning professionals, which I'm sure they are, contact Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com or go to our website and click on For Organizations to learn how we can come on site to you and help your group. Our on-site training offers financial savings for groups of at least 15 with licensing benefits, some customization, and scheduling flexibility. So email Maggie today and she'll be happy to help you.
Once you've decided which task you're going to attack, it's time to brainstorm and research ideas about how to make that task quicker and easier. And we've got some examples of really good kind of brainstorming around what it could look like in terms of resources and ideas and all that.
So the first example is you decide to work on the time it takes to submit your expenses, since that's the most annoying part of your week and the one where you make the most mistakes. Guess whose life this came from? It's annoying. I make mistakes. And then Liz comes after me and says, Wendy, you didn't put this in and you didn't put that in. And what does that mean? And I just get more and more annoyed. And it's my fault because I don't do it properly in the first time, in the first place. So we have a whole list of brainstormed ideas of ways we could make this easier. So first of all, make a folder to store all the receipts and then archive them after the expenses are done. So instead of having receipts spread all over the place on my computer, I could have them all in one place in a folder. And when I have to attach them to the expenses, I would know where they were. And if I archive them at the end of the week, then I don't have a huge list of files to look into.
Absolutely. We could also create a checklist so that we don't forget any of the steps that are involved with gathering the expenses, submitting them, all of that stuff. Checklists are helpful.
Absolutely. Right? The Checklist Manifesto. It's the book.
That's right.
You could create a template for what you write in the explanation field and create a text expander so that you don't have to type it every time. If you know how to use Text Expander, I'm sure there are others, but I use the one that's called Text Expander. And you can make up a little form. If it's a flight, for example, you click it and it says, where were you going from? Where were you going to? Why were you going there? And then when you press OK, it fills out the rest of that sentence. And so all you've had to type is the two destinations and why you were going, and it's all filled out for you. It's a little bit of work to work out how to do that. But once it's working, it's awesome. It's so easy.
For those of you that aren't familiar with it, with 5 to 10 keystrokes, maybe a couple clicks, you can get 150 characters filled out and on the screen where you want them, rather than having to type that all out, which is a huge time savings. And I don't know about the other ones. I know there are other ones, Wendy, like you mentioned, but Text Expander actually sends you an email every week if you want it to, and it'll tell you, this is how much time you saved.
I love right? it. The one I use the most is /S, which just types best regards Wendy, because then I don't have to. And I use it so much that I was writing a post-it to stick on something to put it in the mail to someone, and I wrote on the post-it /S.
Yeah.
It doesn't work when you do that. But otherwise, it doesn't work. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It is a stark contrast when you go to if you get really good and you use it a lot and you go to a different computer, you go, what is wrong with this computer? It doesn't know my thoughts. It doesn't know what I need.
What
is going on?
You can create a cheat sheet of all the codes that you need. I have a cheat sheet for all of the hex codes for the colors on our website, so that when I'm doing something and I need to know what's the hex code for that blue, I have a cheat sheet with it on.
Yeah. Speaking of cheat sheets, you could create a cheat sheet with the distance between locations that you often travel to, right? That could be helpful.
Yeah, if you always go London to Birmingham and it's 300 miles or however, I have no idea how far it is, but you don't remember that. Maybe it's 364 and a half miles and you don't remember that, mm-hmm. and you have to look it up every time. Put it on mm-hmm. cheat sheet. Put a reminder on your calendar so that you do expenses before anything else on a specific day so that it doesn't hang over you all week. There's nothing worse than a task where you think, oh, I've got to do that, got to do that, got to do that. And you don't do it. And then somebody nags you for not doing it. Just get it done.
I have my reminder for doing expenses on Monday afternoons and it never fails. I end up doing it early just because I want to get it out of the way. I should just move the calendar. Like, I don't know why I don't do that. Because I'm always trying to get it done and get it out of the way. You could also do expenses, like break your expenses down. If your organization only expects them to be done and submitted monthly, do them weekly. If you do them weekly, then you don't have a big pile of expenses to go through and submit at the end of the month. You can just do, you know, a week at a time.
Yeah, if you have Ubers at the end of the month and you have 20 of them, remembering which Uber was which, you're never going to do it. If you have a week, at least you can remember, I know where I was going on Thursday last week. It's helpful. And though we're saying expenses, there's lots of reasons. It doesn't matter what the task is, you can apply lots of these. So break a big task into something, into smaller increments and do them in smaller pieces. That you can do that with a lot of tasks.
Yeah, someone I know and care deeply about, I'm not going to say my wife, someone that I know and care deeply about has reviews that they need to do on files that have to be done monthly and never fails. Last day of the month, they're cramming in, trying to get all this, you know, all these files reviewed and all this stuff done. And I have said, what if you did them on the 1st or the 2nd?
Or what if you do 10 this week and 10 next week?
Yeah. And I'm rebuffed every time, but
that's advice for your wife. You could get a new credit card that you only use for company purchases. So if you're one of those people who has to pay for something and then get reimbursed, it's confusing that your company stuff is mixed up with your personal stuff. So maybe you get a card that you just use for company stuff. That makes things easier.
Oh, it's so good. This sounds simple, but maybe you type in the web address of the expense system you use every time. You could easily bookmark that location and just have a button that you press or click on a link and takes you right there.
Because you always rely on the cookies, and then someday you have to clean the cookies. And like you said about Text Expander, all of a sudden the machine doesn't know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
You could look in the help section of your expense software and see if there's a way to send receipts from your email directly into the software. It's a common thing, but often we don't look at the help stuff or the, you know, when you're first starting something, it says, do you want the tutorial? And you go, no.
But often, yeah, I don't have time for that.
There's some helpful things in there, like shortcuts of being able to send your receipts by email.
Yeah, that's a great point. You could ask a peer or someone else that you know how they do their expenses so quickly. If you know there's someone who does their expenses really quickly, ask, find out what their process
What's their
is.
Secret?
Find out, yeah, what are you missing?
You can keep a running list of transactions in your notebook. So when you're in the Uber on the Thursday, you write in your notebook, Thursday Uber, this is where I was going, this is. So all you have to do then when you come to enter them is to look in your notebook. Writing it down
contemporaneously
at the same time. Thank you. At the same time as you're doing it, that is incredibly helpful because whenever you think I will remember, you never do.
Yeah. I do think I was the last person ever on the face of the earth who was taught in high school to balance a checkbook. And this is what that makes me think of, is balancing a checkbook. And I went away from it, of course, as I think a lot of us have. But there are times where I'm like, it would be so much easier if I just had written this down and knew exactly what it was and what it was for. And that's what I think of. Just keep a running list. Then you know exactly what it is and you can enter it. Another thing you could do is you could read the help section of the expense software and find out, are there any shortcuts that I can use? Maybe it's not necessarily importing transactions. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's, it could be that you read in the help section that there are certain credit card providers that import more frequently or, mm-hmm. or update their system. And then if you're thinking about getting a new credit card that's just for company purchases, that would really help guide that purchase and make sure it's the right, you know, card. Just an idea.
You could get a bigger solar power calculator so your calculations don't get interrupted when your phone rings. My calculator is 6 inches square. It's big because nice. I used to use the calculator on my phone. I have one of the mm-hmm. small phones because I only have small hands, but apparently I have big fingers because I never hit the right numbers. And then the phone would ring and I just get frustrated. A calculator is $5. And yeah, it's amazingly so much easier.
Yeah. We could also add one on the list. Turn your phone off or put it on silent while you're doing expenses, right? Because that's maybe you're not using it as a calculator. Maybe you're using the cool big solar powered one, but you could still get interrupted. And even though it doesn't interrupt your, you know, tallying, that interruption, now it's going to take your brain. What is the exact number? Isn't it like 2 minutes to get like back in the rhythm?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it's at least, I think it varies by person. Mine's probably 20. One thing you could do is get in the habit of taking a picture, a photo on your phone of the physical receipt before you leave the restaurant, yes. wherever you've spent it. If your company will accept a picture rather than the actual receipt, you don't have to have the paper copy. You could just take a photo of it. Then all you need to do is get in the habit of every time you pay for something, take a picture of the receipt before you leave the building. And once you're in a habit of something, it's easy. You don't even think about it. It's just getting over the hump of learning the habit.
Yeah. And that, I think, you know, the what we use for expenses, there's actually a feature where you can take a picture in the app and it will read the receipt,
yes.
and pre-populate the expense for you. Now you got to go back through, make sure it, you know, got the date right and all that stuff. I've had some weird, funky things. It reads a date for 2 years ago and I go, wait a second, that's not right. But that's so helpful to get at least most of it done, right? And then you just have to kind of go through and do some fine tweaks. Great, great opportunity there.
And again, all of those things are transferable to other tasks.
Yeah. And we're giving you these examples and they're really robust examples to help give you, you know, fodder, something to think about as you're going through. So we're going to give you another example
next week because we just gave them the example. So
that's right.
Next week, because we're nearly at the end of how long a podcast lasts, I'm going to mm-hmm. tell you the example now. And then in this week, you can think about it.
Ooh,
and then
teaser.
We'll tell you the brainstorm list that we came up with. You can tell us what else you came up with. So it is easy to come up with ways to compress work that's a series of actions. Like expenses is it's easy. It's like a series of actions, this software evolved, so on. There's also the other component of work is the work that involves other people. So in the next example, we're going to think a negotiation or a call to a customer. How would you compress that? And that's going to be our brainstorm list for next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.